If you'll turn to Matthew, the third chapter. Verse 11. I want to say something tonight that'll help you draw closer to God and have more strength in your walk. It's not entertainment, it's information from God's Word that will help us. I don't know how it happens, but just sitting under the Word of God does something to us. His Word will not return unto us void. So we find in Matthew, the third chapter, in verse number 11, John the Baptist is saying, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost, with fire. And then Matthew, the fifth chapter, verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We cannot be Christians incognito. You know, we come to church, we display, we're Christians. We walk out the door, and now we don't want to display. God's saying, if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. So it says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that you may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Lord, we ask your blessing and anointing upon your word. We're a privileged people, God. Not only can we read it, but Lord, there's an anointing and an understanding that many don't have. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you'd also turn to Acts, the 26th chapter. Starting in verse number 13, we find that here is Paul. He's sent before the king and Festus, and what he does is he gives them his testimony. It says, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard the voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all of the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. No good deed. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophet and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. Ever get that from somebody? Well, you're a little wacko, you know. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus. Notice how he responded. He didn't say, you jerk. Most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. Hallelujah. So Festus thought Paul was mad or crazy, but Paul clarified that he was not crazy, he was converted. And maybe a lot of us act a little crazy after we've been converted because we're not acting normal according to the world. We're abnormal. When you see the light, like Paul did, everything seems to be different. I can't explain it, but the light of heaven got inside of me somehow. I was exposed to the light, and now I think different and I act different than before. I don't fit into this world. I'm a pair of brown shoes in a world that is a tuxedo. It's not something I planned. I was just up to no good, just like Paul, many of you the same. But then I saw the light for the first time, and now I'm as mad or crazy as Paul. I'm just different, and I want to stay different, you know? If you'll turn to John, the 8th chapter, verse number 12, Jesus says, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We have seen the light, but we also become the light. Paul was struck down by the light from heaven and then became a light to the Gentiles. The same thing happened to 120 people in the upper room. Now, years ago, I was planning to do a study on tongues, and so I went to the concordance to find out how many times the word tongue was used in the Bible, and the first time it was used is Acts, the 2nd chapter and the 3rd verse. And you know, I've taught so many Bible studies, and so many times a student would say, well, okay, it said that there were cloven tongues that rested upon them. You know, how come we don't get the same cloven tongues on us, you know? And if we're a candle, if we're a light, maybe that's exactly what we would look like, someone with a flame on the top of our head. But, of course, that wasn't exactly what Jesus meant. And so I've said this before. It said, and there appeared unto them cloven, or that which separates, cloven tongues, like as fire. It didn't say it was fire. And the word fire means lightning from above, a gift from heaven, and it sat or dwelled upon each and every one of them. So that's exactly the same experience. When we get the Holy Ghost, it's like a light that comes from heaven. It's much like the light that struck Paul down on his way to Damascus to do dastardly things. You know, we may have been on our way to do dastardly things, and all of a sudden this light or the Holy Ghost hit us like power from above. It immediately changed Paul. And it immediately changed us. So here is the first time The light came from heaven to empower God's church, and this light is replicated again and again and again. Each time somebody is filled with the Holy Ghost, there is this light from heaven that empowers them and changes them in every aspect of their life. Proverbs 20 and 27 says this: the spirit of man, not the spirit of God, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So the picture God gives us here is that man's spirit is like a candle which needs to be lit by the fire or the light that is from heaven. We're all kind of candles unlit until we're filled with the Holy Ghost, and now there is light, a source of light that comes from God that allows us to illuminate other people with the power of God. Until then, we are not functional, if you will, just candlestick holders. Sunday school sings, "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine." Well, that's a nice song, but a candle doesn't have the ability to light itself, you know? And that's why just religion won't work. There's got to be some revelation. There has to be some understanding of what you're reading. It has to have an energy outside of itself. The fire comes down from heaven in the form of the Holy Ghost, and that is the power source. Amen. It's not green energy. It's not solar energy. It's Jesus energy that touches us, and it continues to power us. All of humanity is more or less just unlit candles. Proverbs said, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord," but if you don't light a candle, it really hasn't much use at all. We all have them in our houses collecting dust and wrap from not getting dust. Some of them, they just get warped because it gets warm, and now the straight candle becomes a crooked candle. There is an inner chamber in every one of us. It's the department of the Spirit. I've said it so many times, there's a void within each of us that can't be filled with anything except God, and there are so many frustrating people, and maybe even in the church, frustrated Christians that think they can satisfy themselves with stuff or relationships when the only thing that'll ever satisfy them is God. The tabernacle had three compartments: the outer court, the holy place, and the holiest of holies, and most of us have sat through those kind of Bible studies. Now, the Shekinah glory of God did not light up the outer court, because it was a place of sacrifice. But no light from heaven. The Shekinah glory of God did not light up the holy place, because it was a place of service to God. Now, most of religion is still in the outer court or the holy place, where they believe that sacrifice will bring them closer to God, or service. There's something within our nature that says, I want to do something for God instead of being something for God, you see. But the Shekinah glory of God lit up the holiest of holies with supernatural light. The spirit of man doesn't get lit by sacrifice or service to God. It's not by religion or by intellectual knowledge that gives us the power. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 7 and 21, many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, haven't we? But depart from me, because you know what? You never were lit. I never knew you. You've never been empowered. You did the service, many wonderful works." Within each of us is a throne room for God, a place that God wants to live in and dwell in. And, you know, we become his property And he's a landlord. He won't live in a place that's junked up. It's the inner sanctum or holiest of holies reserved for God, not just head knowledge or the emotion of religion, you see, but a special place that God wants to have within us for himself, his spirit living in us. Sometimes it's hard for me to believe that God lives inside of me based on the knowledge of who I am. You know, we all know who we are. We all know about the thoughts that we've had and the desires that we have, some good, some not so good, and yet God still decides to live in me. It's just hard for me to believe that he stays here, you know? A compartment for the Shekinah glory of God to reside. The word Shekinah is used to describe the presence of God that never left the mercy seat in the holiest of holies. The Shekinah glory of God is where the Spirit of God dwelt on the mercy seat, and it never ever left. And that is what happens to us when we're filled with the Holy Ghost. God's Spirit will never, never, ever leave us, just as it never ever left the mercy seat. There's always mercy extended to us. And somebody is thinking, well, I don't know, I've done some pretty lousy things after I've come into the church. Well, you don't understand the mercy of God, because once he has lit you, once he has empowered you, he's not leaving. Amen. Jesus said in John 3 and 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Jesus was saying, you can't make flesh spirit. It will always be flesh. If you think that you can get this flesh to submit to doing what's right without a dose of the Holy Ghost, it's impossible, because you can't live that way. But what Jesus said was that you can sanctify your spirit that is empowered by his spirit. Notice in that verse it said, and that which is born of spirit, capital S, meaning God's spirit, little s, meaning our spirit. And as our spirit is empowered by God's spirit, we can mortify the deeds of the flesh. But we have to stay lit. We have to stay under the power of the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, we're going to lose the battle. Amen. It's safe to come to church on Wednesdays. It really is. You might think it's just, well, it's. I said to my wife on the way here tonight, I said, there's two times that it's harder to get people to come to church, a really bad snowstorm or blizzard, or when it's really nice out, like today, you know? But God blesses the extra effort, the extra mile, if you will. We cannot make the flesh love God. Our flesh will never want to fast and pray and worship and be faithful. Our flesh doesn't want to come to church, but our empowered spirit can override the flesh. I wonder, so many times I've seen people filled with the Holy Ghost, and one of their questions is, how come we don't have church every night? You know, and then a saint's been around for 50 years, and do we really have to go every Wednesday and Sunday night? Hope nobody blew out your candle. You see, God originally created a spiritual throne room in Adam and Eve, but it was vacated when they sinned in the garden. Their sensitivity to God left them, and thus the battle with the flesh. I can't afford to have my sensitivity to the Spirit leave me, because I can't control this flesh. Like Paul says, I have to beat under my body in subjection on a regular basis. No, I know you're tired, but you're going to church anyway. It's not easy to fast, but it pleases God and empowers me, you see. The new birth is simply God's relighting your candle or human spirit, as it said in Proverbs 20 and 27. You know, if you understand what God is doing, and there's so many scriptures concerning that, then it's easier to follow God. If you turn to Matthew, the 4th chapter, verse number 16, it says, "The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadows of death, light is sprung up." And then if you'll go to 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, starting in verse number 9. It says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Now, we most of the time look at that scripture and say, well, heaven's going to be a great place. Eye has not seen, you know. But could it be talking about right here? You know, you haven't seen anything yet. You can't imagine what God can do for you right now as you're empowered. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, capital S, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. We can't know these things except the Spirit of God reveals them unto us. Now we have received not the spirit, little s, of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So this Spirit enlightens us and opens doors to us that we couldn't possibly educate ourselves to, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Job 33:4 says, "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life." It's the Holy Ghost that gives us a new life and allows us to look forward to an eternal life. The same Spirit that raised Christ up from the dead shall quicken or make alive your mortal bodies. Amen. Church, we cannot afford to have lousy church. If we ever get to that place where let's just get this service over, because I've got some other things to do tonight, and you know, I'm thinking, what am I going to do tomorrow? And if we have lousy church, just go through the motions, we become spiritually dead. It's not so much information but inspiration that makes us alive. There has to be some inspiration. It said in that 14th verse, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." You know, when you come into the church, there are some things that you see are very, very valuable. I'm never going to leave those principles. But then down the road, somebody has convinced you they're not so important anymore. The candle has to be lit to see what is in the darkness. If there's no light, you're stumbling around out there thinking these things aren't important anymore. I couldn't believe how ignorant I was before I learned about the things of God and experienced. How void I was of the knowledge of God, even though I went to church and had some teaching, you see. If you'll turn to John, the first chapter. Verse number one, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Amen. I didn't have a clue. Didn't have a clue. Had no idea how real God could be. But we can revert back to that. We can. Just attend service and not be who God wants us to be. And the life was the light of man. There are two men on the road to Emmaus. You've heard it preached many times, and they met Jesus on the way, and Jesus revealed himself to them through the Old Testament scripture. And then in Luke 24 and 32, it says, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scripture? It was heaven's light wanting to occupy the throne room in their spirit, to reveal some things, you know. There's nothing that excites me more than some revelation, some new thing that I see that God has opened to me because of the light that is within me, you see. The only way we can communicate with God is through our spirit to his spirit. And some of you were praying before service and praying in the spirit, and your spirit was communicating with God's spirit. It's like a walkie-talkie, if you will. We're on the same frequency, and we know that God hears us. So if you'll turn to Romans, the 8th chapter, very familiar scripture, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities or weakness, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself that's in us maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And so when we're our spirit is in communication with God's spirit, you always know you're praying for the right thing. We've all gotten to that place where we wonder, you know, is it cancer? How long am I going to live? Is there some threat in my life? Is this thing going to cause dilemma within our life? You know? But when we come into a church service or even at home, as we're communicating our spirit to God's spirit, we can ask God to take care of the things that are wrong with us that we don't even know about. What a privilege. You know? Like Moses said, I'm not eloquent in speech. I don't even know what to say. And then God said, well, who made your mouth? If I made your mouth, I can put the words in it. Well, that's exactly what happens when we're filled with the Spirit. He made our mouth and he puts the words in it so we can pray for the things that really matter within our life. Glory to God. Amen. Again, we cannot afford to have lousy services. And if we try to communicate with God through our will, through our emotion, through our intellect, through our brain power, it won't work. It has to be a communication from our spirit to his spirit. We just become religious and not spiritual if we try to do it on our own without the Shekinah glory of God empowering us. A 9/11 and so many schools and public shootings, we seem to see that happening on a regular basis. Immediately, there are memorials at the scene that light candles. It's just a natural instinct for people to light candles for somebody who is dead. Candles that represent the lives that were taken, senseless acts of terror. When people are dead, they need to have their candles lit again in the church. Even certain denominations light candles for loved ones that have passed, thinking, well, that's going to help them. Lighting a candle to keep the memory of those people alive, well, God has a better idea. He lights a candle for a new beginning. Each and every one of us were lit, if you will, and the candle is you and me when we receive the Holy Ghost, and then we become the light for others to see. If you'll turn to 2 Corinthians, 4th chapter, verse number 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Paul, you don't know what you're doing, but there's this light from heaven that comes down, and all of a sudden you have understanding. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So please try to imagine that each and every one of us are sort of a lit candle, you know? Tongues of fire on top, if you will, different sizes and colors, but all have a flame of fire lit from heaven, like as a fire that sat upon each of them in Acts 2 and 3. Now, there are some candles that are decorative, you know? We all have them. Not very functional, just decorations. In fact, some candles are so nice that people spend more money on the holder than they do on the candle. Some keep the plastic wrappers on them so they don't get dusty, you know. We have some candles that we bought in Germany years ago. They were just outstanding candles. We've never lit them. They're just almost pieces of art. But I hope there aren't any candles like that in the church. You know? What do you think? Look pretty good. Never been lit. Plastic is still on. You know? Some candles are specifically made to set an atmosphere. Frank Tompkins is one of those candles. He sets the atmosphere in the church for worship. And then there are birthday candles, and there are party candles, and then there are scented candles for romance. At the beginning of our song service, we should all yell, "Okay, someone light the candles." You know, let's have an atmosphere in here. There are a few party candles in every service. John the Baptist said, "He that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire or lightning from above." It's not a one-time experience. Wow. Got the Holy Ghost in 1977. Have you been lit since? Or are we just decorations? So picture yourself as one of those candles that can't be blown out. And that's the power of the Holy Ghost living inside of us. It's our human spirit lit to become the throne room of God. You see, the fire in the altar of sacrifice was never, ever to go out. The candles in the holy place, never, ever to go out. And the Shekinah glory of God in the holiest of holies never, ever left. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on the candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Amen. Everybody. It doesn't mean that we all won't go through some dark times. But thank God for the light inside of us. We have the light inside of us, and nothing can put it out except us. You know, there are some candles that we've had over the years that you burn them and somehow the drippings fall down all around, and they're different colors, and they're just absolutely gorgeous because, you know, they've been lit so many times that they create just this beautiful array of wax that comes down. And then the candles that I really like are those birthday candles where you put the candles. They can't do that on my cake anymore because I'm so old. But they put the candles on and you, and then they come back to life. They come back to life. I hope that's who we are. Somebody tries to blow us out. We come back to light again. Amen. Had a rough time. There's a storm in our life. There's a sickness. There's a problem. You would think the light would go out, but always comes back. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So just don't take this wrong, but you need to get lit. Would you stand with me? God's got the best stuff in the Bible, you know? He's such an incredible teacher because he took such everyday things and made it so revelational. Amen. Glory to God. And without the Holy Ghost, it's just a bunch of words on paper. But can you see yourself reflected in the Word of God? Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?